All right, it's a good morning to you and welcome to, you know, Tech Ego. It's a Friday edition of Tech, and, you know, some of you have already gone before you came. You know, have you ever knocked off before you start working? You know, you come to work, you have already knocked off. So, that's a mood of, you know, Friday. But here, mood doesn't change. See, mood doesn't change. But yes, good morning and welcome. And today we are looking at a very, very, you know, important discussion. And I'm sure you would want to come through. Now, it is projected that the world will be populated to about 9.5 billion people around 2050. And it is now being projected that most people will need food, you know. And we now have a problem, you know, with supply chains of food or food supply chains. And we also have a problem in finding, you know, arable land, and some arable land that has been destroyed firstly need to be restored, you know, for farming to continue, so that we are, you know, able to yield crops. And there is land that is a little bit, or there is land that is not, you know, restorable, if I have to say that, because of activities that have been, you know, going on those lands continuously. Those are the challenges. And the water supply will also be strained, you know. Water supply will also be strained, and some experts are projecting or estimating that, you know, 57% of people will live in a place without water, you know, will be in want of water. That is now by 2050. They are projecting that 57% of people, or of the world population, will live in areas, you know, where there will be scarcity of water. And they are saying that 25% of the world's arable land has been degraded, and it requires, you know, significant restoration, so that, you know, it continues to sustain the world in terms of food production. Not also, you know, withstanding or not living out the other weather conditions that are based on natural disasters. That all contributes to the negative impact of food supply. Now, how does, you know, global agriculture, how can it withstand? You know, how can it stand these mounting environmental challenges? You know, and there are projection, or there is hope, you know, in technological advancements that are led by Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, and drones. The people have hope, or the world have hope in, world has hope in, you know, the contribution that drones, artificial intelligence, Internet of Things will, you know, contribute to making sure that agriculture is revolutionized to the point that it, you know, continues to keep food on the tables for many generations. And there are many opportunities, you know, in which technology can be allowed to influence food production or to influence the manner in which food is produced. And today, we are just going to focus on five of them. And then from there, you know, I will be opening my lines. But for me, before I open the lines, okay, maybe not to say open the line, but before I go into the five technologies, I am of an opinion that, you know, preservation must be one of the, you know, we have perennial rivers. We have perennial rivers, at least two major perennial rivers, if not three. We have the Orange River, the Zambezi, the Kunene River, and the Kavango Rivers. Those are four perennial rivers, major ones. Within the Zambezi area, there are about 5-6 perennial streams that don't run dry. There is a Kasaya side stream, you know, and there is the Kwando River, the Chobe River, the Linyanti River, and within those rivers, the Kwando, the Linyanti, the Chobe, actually Zambezi is surrounded by four: Kwando, Linyanti, Chobe, and then the main Zambezi. But then there are other, streams. You know, there are other streams. Like if you go to the area such as, you know, Schuckmansbeck there, there are almost up to five streams of water, you know, that don't necessarily run dry. You know, the whole, Malaha area has potential to become, you know, a farming area. But we are all seated with this, waiting for 2050, so that we may come and say 57% of the world is living in water scarce area. So we are waiting for 2050. Let me not go much further. But one of the first technologies that can assist in revolutionizing farming and food production is crop monitoring. Crop monitoring you can monitor crops using sensors driven by Internet of Things with drones and artificial intelligence. And what you can do then, you can monitor 3 to 4 things. Number one, you monitor the soil moisture so that you are able to determine how much water to dispatch to a specific area that needs water. You also monitor the soil temperature. That will determine whether you want to plant or not. You also monitor the fertility of the soil. You are able to determine whether to add, you know, how much fertilizer. Because most of the time we put fertilizer even where fertilizer is not needed, because we don't have the monitoring system. We can't monitor and track the soil to find out whether, you know, to find out whether we are able to put fertilizer here. So we put fertilizer in the whole field. We put fertilizer in the whole field. And then, you know, we are short of precise inaccurate, you know, information as to when, I mean, to which place really needs fertilizer. So when you have the monitoring system, you are precise. You are precise in terms of how you dispatch water, if you are doing irrigation, and how much water you dispatch to a place, and you know the list is endless. You are also able to detect pests and weeds just from your sitting room. You know, when you have your farm connected, interconnected, you are able to monitor everything from your screen or from your phone, depending on how advanced the technology will be. Perhaps you also have an application that gives you access to your drone database, or you access the database from the drones that is automatically sent into, you know, the computer, depending on how advanced, you know, that will be. So you are able to monitor weeds while they are still germinating, and pests. And you know, you are able to even invading animals, the invading animal threats, you are also able to monitor. So that's, you know, about monitoring. The number two is weather sensors. You know, agriculture is weather driven. And agriculture is one of the, how can I say, is one of the element of humanity that always is at the mercy of, you know, the weather. And sometimes we listen to the meteorological services when they predict the weather, and they say this year there will be much rain, and then people start to, you know, prepare seeds, and they start planting with an impression that there will be much rain, just for rain not to come. So agriculture is, you know, at the mercy of weather pattern. And it is therefore imperative, you know, for technology to come in and assist you from your own, at a household level. And how technology assists you is when you use edge IoT system, edge Internet of Things system, and sensors that are able to, you know, accurately tell you the weather pattern, and then you make decisions that are informed. So you are able to eliminate any climate surprises and plan accordingly, because you have the information with hyper-local weather systems that you can have to install in your farm. When you have a very well detailed local weather, you are able to understand and, you know, decide accordingly, and also live towards yielding crops. Then you have livestock data. Livestock data you know, when you are pastoralist and you have a dairy farm, you can employ wearable technologies that are able to capture a wide range of data, such as reproductive cycles of the animal, health and nutrition levels and food consumptions, body temperatures, and more. You are able to determine, you know, to know that, oh, this animal has lost the appetite. It's running on low nutrition. Or this animal its body temperature is not normal. And you are able to dispatch correct treatment. Then you have autonomous farm machinery, machine learning, artificial intelligence. You have, you know, robotic seed planters and, self-driving tractors. These are the machines that are able to reduce, the need for manpower in your farm. The agricultural drones, they can also save countless hours of working for human beings and eliminate error, because the agricultural drones are able to determine, to know whether if you are dealing with fruit, they are able to send information that the certain fruit trees are ripening, or they are, ready for harvest. Then these drones are able to pick those fruits, or robotics that are able to pick those fruits. This is projected to save, costs and time. And then you have smart infrastructure. Smart infrastructure was actually supposed to be the first on the list. You can't have all these technologies without the infrastructure. So for you to be able to optimize the whole farming system, you need smart silos, smart greenhouses. The silos that are able to sense and communicate to tell you the size of what is inside. And smart greenhouses are able to, optimize humidity levels, moisture, and all weather conditions. So, cloud comes in. Cloud also comes in with vast amount of data when it comes to processing and storage of data. Now, all these technologies are fascinating. But my problem is, I have a problem, and my problem is, how affordable are these technologies? My problem is, how affordable are these technologies? Maybe these technologies will make sense, to commercial farms and to government-run farms. If at all, by 2050, we will still have Mahangu fields in the north.
It's Tuesday. Oh my, and my fuel tank only has a drop of fuel, but I need to get my municipal bill at the post office. What do I do now?
Well, Ongwediva Town Council has just the solution, as it has commenced issuing municipal bills electronically through SMSs and emails, while gradually phasing out the traditional method of sending bills through post mails. Ongwediva residents with municipal accounts are expected to visit the office to verify and update their information during working hours from Monday to Friday before 30 June 2022. Property owners should bring along certified copies of their identity document and water bills. Receive your municipal bill on time and pay for services delivered for continued maintenance and development of Ongwediva Town. For further information, please contact our office at 065-233-700 or email us at inquiry@otc.com.na.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
All right, we continue. So if at all the north in the northeastern regions and everywhere else in Namibia, by 2050, there will still be crop fields. Can the peace people afford Internet of Things? You know, the devices that are interconnected from your sitting room to the gates of your farm. Can this all be affordable? But in self-driving tractors and, harvesting robotics, can this be affordable? The question is yes. Not the question, but the answer is yes. But the problem that we have a problem of change resistance. If I am to be correct here biologically, let me not be correct. Let me not say it has been correct, but let me make a point using it. We have a problem, and that problem is not affordability. We have a problem that I can call change resistance deficiency syndrome or change deficiency syndrome. That is the only problem that we have. We have a deficiency. And we have a change immunity. We are resistant to change. You see, for example, we complain and they say, no, we don't eat other fish. We only eat masbange. But if I bring a fish shop that sell king crab, lambri, crayfish, callfish, that sell the jack's fish, and all those fish, the ribbon, snook, you will still run to the masbange. We will still run to the masbange and come back again and complain and say, we are not eating other type of fish. So the problem is not affordability. The problem is adaptability. The problem is not that we are able to afford. No, we can afford. But the problem is that we are failing to embrace change. With a smartphone, you are standing in the north now with an empty crop field, very empty, with a tap of water in your house. Very empty. Why? Because you don't see the importance of diversifying your field. you don't see the importance of diversifying yours. It's not because you don't know. No, it's because you know. But there is a problem. There is a change immune deficiency syndrome in ourselves. So that problem will kill us. And you see, we have countries such as Venezuela with the largest land space, arable, and less production. And then you have countries like Iran, 40 years of sanctions, and those sanctions have culminated to almost 2,000 sanctions, to the point that the US and the West don't even know where to touch anymore. If they had to impose the new sanctions, they don't know which sanctions to do, to impose. And then not only about sanctions, 72% desert. And then they only have 28% of land that they can use for agriculture. But their agriculture is the most booming. See, the agriculture and food production is booming. How? So if we are seated with corn, or we are seated with this type of riches that we have. Orange River is a rich place. I can even say it's better than the Jordan River. Zambezi, Kavango, Kunene. Then in Zambezi itself, the most wet region in Namibia, and the most tropical, with almost 700 to 1,000 milliliters of rain annually. Far better than the whole Middle East. You know, far better. Zambezi is far better than the whole Middle East. But we are surpassed by small countries that have 70% desert, and they are able to produce massive food that they are able to feed almost the whole world. And we are crying now for Ukraine to be unblocked so that food may come here we buy. Ukraine will not be unblocked as long as Russia sanctions remain. So the problem is not whether or not we are able to afford the technology. The problem is, are we able to adapt and adopt change? That's the problem. So we will be locked in here in finger pointing. You know, if you point to the Minister of Agriculture, you point to the ministry, and now we are even using the budget, 1.5 billion, to be small. But do you know that in the kingdoms that we lived communally, there were no budget. People produced food without a budget. So 1.5 billion budget is more than in a kingdom setup where there is nobody to budget for anything, but everybody else wakes up and produce food. So if we don't change, we will keep fighting. And until we find ourselves, you know, not even having energy to blame anybody. So this thing is very serious. So all those Internet of Things, they can be affordable. You know, they can be affordable. We can afford the cars. Expensive, very much expensive cars. And they are parking outside or in our garages, but our own fields in the village there, they are lying waste. Nothing is going on, and we are only waiting for October and November to produce food to be rainfall driven. So gone are those days when people need to be rainfall driven. They are producing food, you know, uh they are producing food in diverse ways. 083-288-401, that's the number in studio. Agree and disagree with me. Agree and disagree with me, but I think we have a problem. And I'm not a doctor to diagnose it, but maybe I had a dream diagnosing the problem that we have. And according to this diagnostic or whatever it is, we have a change immune deficiency syndrome. And one of the signs is blame shifting. So one of the signs, you know, we were talking about measles, that one of the signs of measles is fever, you know, cough. But one of the signs of this disease is blame shifting. So we have a problem, and whenever there is an opportunity for us to introspect, you know, we run away. We run away. And we don't even want to be part of conversations. But if I talk about, if there is anybody to point a finger here now, you know, let me say, let's talk about fish rot. If I come up with a program on fish rot now, you know, this phone, we will need to buy a new one. So those are the problem. That's a sign that we have a problem. And if we don't realize this problem earlier, the next generation that is coming will come to suffer. You know, the generation that is coming will come to suffer. Because we have a problem and we don't want to detect this problem. So it's not really about, it's not all about the Ministry of Agriculture. You know, it's not all about the government. Of course, government has a percentage in this blame. But from the household level, community level, village level, regional level, tribal level, we have a problem. So I said earlier, in 50 years ago, there was no budget on food production. There was no government to give anybody water or food relief. But people produced food. And now we are saying, fine, the method of producing food in a hardworking way is good. But let us diversify. Let us look at modern ways of food production that are very cheap and yet effective and efficient. So let's look at the methods of production, cheap yet effective. Do you know that we can afford smartphones? All of us, we can afford them. But how many of us are benefiting from smartphones? You know, if I ask you to give me a report, like you have been having that phone for 6 months, apart from camera that you are using to take photos, if you are to give a report that what knowledge, what skill did you get through that phone, there'll be zero, many zeros. But we are walking in our pockets with universities packed with, you know, knowledge and skill. You are able to diversify your field, your Oshiwambo field. Transforming your Oshiwambo, that Oshikuku, a chicken, you know, house, into an economy. transforming your kraal, your cattle post into an economy, not only into the thing of, you know, an expo of that traditional, you know, cattle expo. That's why there is no database, you know, that is pointing to us as to how much does the north and northeastern region contribute to GDP when it comes to the farming. It's because there is a very serious problem. We don't want to adapt change. You know, we don't want to adapt change, and what is killing us is not affordability. What is killing us is change that we are resistant to. We are only focused on, we only do one thing for generations. For generations, we only do one thing. All right, I lost that call, but if you were calling 083-2884-01, if you want to be part of the conversation, I said, agree and disagree with me. What do you think is a problem here? Is it affordability? Because all these things, you know, are distant in terms of affordability at the moment, but they will be cheap. Just like computers are cheap, smartphones are cheap, affordable, cars, we are buying them, and they are running the same way the Mercedes-Benz are running. And we have them. But change, we don't want. So we don't want to change. So that's a problem. And that is, that even if we have change, if the best technology, you know that even in our nutrition, we don't change. The way we used to eat food, we just eat pap, a big one with a lot of meat. Then, you know, we even the way we cook vegetable, by the time the vegetable is going to be, you know, ready to be eaten, is just roughage. You just swallow. It becomes a liquid. So there we just eat for energy. You know, we just eat for energy. And in it, eating for energy doesn't build the body. Now that's what we do. We just farm. Because it's a season of farming. And everybody is doing it. So, but is it an economy? How much does it contribute to your pocket? So how much do you expect to have from your labor? Nobody knows. You know? Nobody knows. So it starts from the household before it goes to cabinet. Because the people who are in cabinet, where do they come from? They come from the household. It goes from the household into community. Then it becomes, by the time it reaches cabinet, that's a high level of syndrome. So just like even COVID has a long COVID, there is what they call the long COVID. Because it seems that it has stages. So when you are just there and you want to point a finger to somebody up there, look at yourself. What are you doing from a household level? You know, that will contribute nationally to the problem. See, what are we doing from a household level, which may contribute, whether positively or negatively, to the national problem that we have? You know, You can say the 1.4 billion, 1.5 billion is little. Fine. Maybe it's because of the way we are doing things from down there that comes to affect how things should be done from the up. You know, things always complement. There is bottom, there is top. And then there is up, there is down. So it's a complement. Things complement. So even if we will have these technologies that are able to revolutionize, you know, farming and, you know, help us enhance food production in a quicker, smarter way, in massive production, some countries will still suffer. You know, some countries will still continue to suffer. How can Africa, very large, endowed with rivers, rich land, how do we cry now and we say Ukraine must be opened? You see, that statement makes me feel, you know, it makes me feel, you know, different. Because this is a very vast, you know, continent. 1.4 billion people, almost. It's large land, even forests that are still virgin, that were never inhabited. You can still find them in Africa. But we are crying for Ukraine to open, to be opened for grain to come. You know, that already tells you that there is a certain syndrome. And if we are to order any vaccine, we need to consider halting COVID-19 for now, because at least we can live with COVID. But there is a problem that we need a serious cure from. You see, there is a problem that has long been with us that needs a serious cure. Why don't we learn from these countries, from Iran, for example? 40 years of sanctions, 72% desert, but yet their production, what are they doing right? Are we saying they have more money than the whole Africa? No. They don't even have money than the whole than Nigeria. But what are they doing well that we are failing to do? What is it that we are not doing right? Yes.
Hey, Franz, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Franz, here, we are country here for, when you're coming for agriculture, we're just talking, but the government for us don't stand up. And even Naloba, new Naloba is coming now also, it don't stand up.
No, you know where you are getting it wrong.
Yeah.
And that is a sign that we have a disease, you know, in Africa that is called change immune syndrome. Because, look, you are already blaming government and Naloba.
Yeah.
But where are you? Where are you calling me from?
Me, I'm calling from Ashakati.
Uh-huh. But yeah. Where is your village?
My village is in Utapi there on Name. There.
Okay, where in your Name there you have a field, right?
My brother, my water is not running. They rope me. I buy a water meter. I put in my ground where it's supposed to make food. But there's no water running.
No, it's fine. You yeah. maybe you
not
have
fine. A... It's not fine, Frank.
No, I understand. Water. I understand, yeah. But you maybe your water is not running, but your neighbor's water is running.
It's a little bit far. I think almost a kilometer,
no,
maybe.
No, your neighbor's water is running, but the field is empty.
Yeah.
You see now? So that's where that's where our problem is. We want to jump pointing a finger there, but we are missing a point.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is why I'm missing point. Maybe you think I'm missing point, but
No, I understand what you are saying.
Yeah.
I understand what I'm just trying to tell you, that it's not only Naloba and the government that are wrong.
Yeah, but I was want to try to explain it well. Just maybe give me time to finish a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. The thing is this, France. Now we're crying for Ukraine here. Ukraine is a country like us. They make food for the same sand we have sand here, but we cannot stand up. We got also a lot of company, like maybe the number one water and MPC. Why not they come together? Then they make a big agriculture to build up a tundra, to build up Zambezi, to build up a Kavango, to make food in the country. Who have power? Well, you and me, Francis, we don't have a power. It's the government need to stand up and talk for those stats.
You see, that's where we are getting it wrong.
Okay.
Yes, but thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Francis. Yeah.
You know, that's where we are getting it wrong. We think we have no power. Do you know that most farmers who are producing food in Russia and the Ukraine are not government? So even people that produce food, even if you go to countries like Gabon, when people are producing food, or even I can give you Zambia, most people that produce food, this is not government. So here we want to say everything must just be government, and then we are waiting there. It's like, you know, if you are having, if you can't look at yourself, first of all, let's look at ourselves. What are we doing? We can say we don't have water. Okay, fine. But some people have water, but their fields are laying waste, waiting for when? October, with water in their houses, fetching water to cook, and the water that they are using to you know, wash dishes, they throw it away. That it dries, it just evaporates. So that's why I'm saying that collectively, as a country, we have a problem, and the sign that we have a problem is what we do all the time, shifting blames. Yes.
Okay, morning. Let me ask you a few or a small question.
Yeah.
Which level, which age level needed to have a responsibility to producing food? Which age level? Because if you are from from 7 years up to 18 to 19, you are still a school girl. And maybe from there, you need at least 4 years or five for the tertiary education. Okay, maybe from there, after you are graduate, maybe to the department. Of course, this question is about the point where Africans have failed to produce food for ourselves and other continents. Who failed? Who failed?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frost.
Yeah, the question is who failed? The answer is we failed. We failed. Are you always in school? You know, even the people that are university, they go for holidays.
Being circumcised keeps it clean and reduces a man's risk of getting sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. It's safe and it's free. Man up. Get the smart cut. To book for a free circumcision or to find out more, WhatsApp 081-309-2729 or visit us on Facebook at BMMC Namibia. Ah.
know, who is producing food that we want from Ukraine? You know, that question is, who is producing the food that we are now crying for to come from Ukraine? Who is producing it? Ukrainians. So we have a problem of, you know, that's why, you know, there is no conversation where government does not come in, you know, whoever does not come in. The problem is starting from the household, your own house. Whatever you do there contributes to where we are today as a nation. So everyone has a role to play here. Because if the whole farming, the people, if they are all, you know, food security is in, you start from the household when it comes to production, it will be easier from a government level, you know. But yeah, we leave that one point for, you know, the next day, for the other day, for the next day, for the, you know, this is a topic for the, you know, for another day. But my time here has come to a serious, you know, halt. And I don't want to take much time. And Dwight is here. Good afternoon, Dwight.
Franz, good afternoon means after two, man. But I'll also, you know, reciprocate. Good afternoon, Franz.
My friend, after two, what calendar is that?
You're saying good afternoon?
Yeah, this is 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Midday.
There's not 12 in the morning.
Well, true.
But there's no good midday in English grammar.
as well, yeah. That is true. How are you doing, Franz?
Good. How's it?
I'm all right, man. We're just ending up on our discussion this morning of the customer service and whether it's relevant. And then we'll head into the new week, ultimately, starting from Monday again on something different.
All right. Thank you very much. Dwight, you know, our time to retire is still very far.
That's a different discussion, Franz. Exactly.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shelf life of over 28 days. Now listen up.
Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Mmm, just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a fest for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the great white.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position mm-hmm. to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.